This podcast's only purpose is for informational use. It is not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Investing in the market is risky, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Back with another episode of the 2 Cents 20 Year Old podcast. This one is about how I started investing. I've been digging too deep. Welcome back to episode 23 of the 2 Cents 20-Year-Old Podcast, the podcast where I talk about the things that you should be thinking about when it comes to your money. As I was writing this episode, I had the Martin Shkreli episode of Dirty Money playing in the background, which I usually don't do while writing episodes because, you know, I tend to not be able to focus and stuff like that, but sometimes it's good to switch it up. So I had the episode playing on my monitor while I wrote this on my laptop. And I think it was maybe a month ago. I think it was in December. I made a TikTok about farmer bro Martin Shkreli discussing how, you know, he was said to be the poster boy of capitalism and extortion of consumers and stuff like that. I also discussed how he brought the price of a drug called Daraprim from $1,350 a pill to $750 a pill under his company Turing Pharmaceuticals. Daraprim is a drug used to fight against pneumonia in people suffering from HIV/AIDS, and without it, the person with this problem could die. So basically, this singular person, Martin Shkreli, was responsible for extorting this niche market of the drug Daraprim, which Shkreli explains that the exponential rise in the price of the drug was relatively docile because the market for this drug was only, quote, around the word only, a few thousand people. The obvious irony in this statement is that these few thousand people can't afford to pay $750 a pill, and they're being put through the ringer and potentially towards bankruptcy and even death just because they have to pay for this pill that they need to survive. Shkreli was often quoted saying that if someone needs it and doesn't have insurance, his company will give Daraprim to them for free. In his eyes, he's attacking the insurance companies, not the patients. But the obvious thing about this mindset is that the insurance rates and the premiums might go up if the patient's insurance realizes, you know, what they have to dish out for this drug. When all is said and done, after having to face Congress and many news sites, Shkreli received a 7-year prison sentence and $7.4 million worth of fines for securities fraud, not even for the price gouging, which is incredible. But I guess, you know, I guess there was just not enough evidence of foul play with the price gouging for him to be charged with anything for that, because I guess they found that it wasn't necessarily illegal, just morally reprehensible. So as I watched this episode, I remember my first time watching this episode of Dirty Money about 3 years ago and watching this market manipulation and the interviews with the people shorting the stock Valeant. So it wasn't just about Martin Shkreli, it was about this other pharmaceutical company called Valeant. They were doing pretty much the same thing, but what they had done was they stripped all of the research and development from their company, basically just turning it into a company that made massive profits for their shareholders, and, you know, they just didn't have any ethics. You know, I was watching this Dirty Money episode, and they had these interviews with people shorting the Valeant stock because they had gone and done some deep technical analysis into the company and saw that the company was making this incredible profit from so many unethical routes. Watching this and The Big Short really inspired me to begin investing, not because I wanted to be like these deplorable felons, but because I saw the people shorting it and listened as they went through their analysis of the corruption of the company. I wanted to understand how it all worked. How did they see the holes in these companies that were said to be the best of the best and pretty much had every investor backing them? Same goes for Michael Burry in The Big Short with the mortgage-backed securities and shorting the real estate market, something that everyone thought was absolutely insane. It was the understanding of the market that no one else could understand or even see in general that inspired me. And that's pretty much what today's episode is about, how I started investing. So as I said, the inspiration to start learning about investing came at a decently early age from finance movies and documentaries that went in depth about how markets moved, who some of the big players were, and some of the infamous scandals within the history of finance. Before I get into the stepping stones of my investing career, I'll start off at the point where money became something that I began focusing my time and energy on. When I was 15, my dad and I talked about me getting my first job. Now that I look back at it, I think he was making more of a joke than actually forcing me into getting a job, like, you know, the cliche. But this inquiry from him made me think that, yeah, maybe it was time for me to get a job. I didn't really have any expenses, but like, extra money is awesome, and it would be cool to not have to fully depend on my parents for food and clothes. So I got my first job at 15, which is basically a shelf stocking general maintenance job at a small grocery store in my town. I basically called them up and asked if they were hiring, and the manager told me to come in and get an application, which is kind of funny to look, you know, it's funny looking back now because I'm pretty sure most places just have you apply online. So I went in to grab this application and I filled it out and I went back and I handed it in. And about a week later, I get a call from the manager telling me to come in for an interview. And, you know, this was for a minimum wage job and I was 15 years old. So it wasn't like the wife and the kids were riding on me getting this job. So it wasn't like a life or death situation. I just went in and, you know, I just thought it'd be nice to get my first job. So I interviewed, I got the job, I began working pretty much the next day. I worked that job through the summer of freshman year to the beginning of sophomore year. And then I gave my 2 weeks because school was starting and this was really only supposed to be like a summer job. But working that job with, you know, none of my friends really had a job, it made me really understand what money was really worth. My friends would come in and see me and obviously, you know, I wouldn't be able to hang out with them because I was working. And that's when I realized that when it comes down to money, it's all about priorities and the exchange of money for your time and effort. Once I got my first paycheck, my first thought was, no way am I spending this. I spent 15 hours of my week working for this. And that is what began my natural ability to save. And when I began doing this, the more that I worked, the more I could save. And the more that I could save, the bigger the number in my bank account would be. And you know, it sounds naive and void of purpose, but you know, as a 16, 17 year old, it was pretty much that simple for me. And that's when I began learning about investing. Luckily, one of my parents works in finance. So combining that relatively smooth transition into getting a Roth IRA opened in my name at 18 with the basic knowledge of market movements and current events, I began investing. Now, I will say it definitely wasn't all sunshine and rainbows for me. The brokerage that I use has fairly high fees when it comes to investing in equities and index funds for the purpose that their client, you know, their clients are looking for long-term growth within a retirement fund. So the flat rate fees when it came to any equities trade on their whatever price, we'll say $20,000 investment, was just a speck in the frame when their position increased over time. But at the time, I didn't quite grasp this as a young investor who basically just wanted to have 3 to 6 month long positions and rebalance my portfolio whenever I wanted. Now, I learned this quickly and corrected my path to long-term investing in mutual funds, index funds, and retirement funds. Mutual funds and retirement funds, I would not have to pay a fee for if I kept my money in there until 59 and a half. Now, this is all part of the due diligence. So that basically, when I tell you this, this is so that you won't make the same mistake that I did. When you are going to open up your Roth IRA and you're looking at different brokerages, do your due diligence, see what fees they take out, you know, when with whatever trades, it differs with each brokerage. So I began doing this, I began long-term investing, and this is when I found people in the finance community who were much less so investors that scalped positions and day traded. They were just everyday average people that loved building wealth just like me. Once I found this community, I was absolutely stunned at what I had been missing. These people were working jobs, had families, took vacations, and were still on the path of coming out with over $1 million simply from investing in securities within their Roth IRA or traditional IRA or 401k accounts. You know, some of them had, well, I won't say some of them, most of them had real estate, had rental properties, stuff like that. So it was all stuff that I felt like I could do. Now, this seemed much more obtainable for me as opposed to, you know, being the next individual trader leading the charge against the real estate market. This was something that I could do now and just do forever until I was done working. Combining this with my natural saving ability, I could essentially never have to work on anything that I didn't really want to. I would only work on the stuff that I was interested in, which thankfully is making money and working in finance. But I could also try out new stuff like talking about money on a podcast to a couple hundred people that are just like me. It's exciting, but nerve-wracking, but also gives me the space to dream bigger. So as I tell you this, I'm still working on investing in my Roth IRA, beefing up my savings account, paying off my car loans, and at the rate of principal that I'm paying each month, I should have my car paid off a couple years early. And in addition to that, I'm also working to pay off my student loans every month. So that way I will be coming out hopefully with a little bit to spare. So when you hear me say this, I want you to think, what are my money goals for 2021? Especially if you're my age, there is so much potential and so many avenues to make money in the modern age that really anyone who has a laptop could find a way to do it. My other question is, when was it when you decided you wanted to take a shot at investing? Let me know on TikTok or Twitter at 2cents20yearold. It would be awesome to connect with anyone that wants to talk about money and is like-minded with the stuff that drives me. Also, more and more of my mutual friends in my real life are starting to find my podcast, which is strange because, you know, I basically kept this in the dark since I started it. But I have a couple of buddies who are massively supportive of it and love what I'm doing and give me mad props. So it's just so awesome. One of my best friends, Logan, just started working at my job with me, and I've been training him for a couple of weeks. And, you know, he's been giving me massive support. He's a grinder just like me. He's a saver just like me. So, you know, he pretty much loves everything that I'm talking about. Maybe I should have him on a podcast episode. I don't know. But I'm super appreciative of him and my other friends, and obviously, who could forget anyone from the 2 Cents community who tune in regularly and like my TikToks and follow me on Twitter and just listen to the podcast in general. You all make this so much fun to do every single week, and I'm so appreciative. Thank you so much for listening. If you have a question you would like me to answer on a podcast, shoot me an email at 2cents20yearoldpod@gmail.com, and I would be more than happy to answer it. Thank you again so much for listening. I will talk to you later this week.